ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्दे अहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमस्तुते। जयतां सुरतो पंगोर मम मन्द मतेर गति मत् सर्वस्य पदां भोजो राधा मदन मोहन। दिव्याद वृंदारण्य कल्पद्रुमाध श्रीमद् रत्नागार सिंहासनस्थो श्री श्री राधा श्रील गोविंद देव पृष्ठालिभि सेव्यमानं स्मरामि। श्रीमान रास रसारम्भि वंशीवट तटस्थित कर्षन वेणु सनैर गोपी गोपीनाथ श्रीस्तुना। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। I thank you all for coming to this program tonight, and at the same time I beg your forgiveness not being able to speak in German. I wish I could. Maybe sometime in future I'll be able to deliver the lecture in German. Today the topic of discussion is reincarnation. The word reincarnation literally means return or to come back. Now, we have to understand what actually comes back. The body doesn't come back. After we die, the body doesn't come back. What actually comes back is the spirit soul. And our real identity is the spirit soul. Maybe we can see if everybody has the same working. Is it working now? Not working. Maybe that one is better. So, reincarnation literally means return of the spirit. And before we enter into that subject of return of the spirit, we have to understand what the spirit is. It's actually not very difficult to understand what the spirit is. When we consider I am, then we become aware of the fact that we all are conscious. I am conscious, that's why I am. And when I become unconscious, then it doesn't really matter whether I am or whether I am not. So, our consciousness is the preliminary symptom of our existence. And that consciousness comes from the spirit. The consciousness doesn't come from any material phenomena. The consciousness doesn't come from the body, but the consciousness comes from the spirit. This point we can discuss a little further. Maybe I shouldn't, till the time it's finished, I mean it's ready, I think I give you some time. Is it working now? So, when we consider I am, that I am is my awareness. I am conscious, that's why I am. When I am not conscious, then we do not have the awareness whether we exist or not. Actually, when we are unconscious, then we are non-existent. So, this consciousness, as I just mentioned earlier, is a product of our self. The consciousness comes from the spirit, spirit soul. The consciousness doesn't come from matter as such. When the soul is present in the body is alive. When the soul leaves the body, then the body becomes dead. Now, this body is made of matter. This body is a product of the material nature, and the body is made of matter. But when the soul is in the body, then the body is alive. When the soul leaves the body, then the body becomes dead. And we can also consider another factor, that the body is constantly changing. Actually, every second, every moment, the body is changing. But although the body changes, the self doesn't change. The soul doesn't change. The soul, the spirit, retains its identity as it is. Like, for instance, when you are 5 years old, you had a small body. Then when you became 15 years old, you had a bigger body. The body changed. Then when you became 25 years old, the bodies changed further. So this way, every moment, the body is changing. But although the body changes, you retain your identity. You retain your identity as unchanging self. Like you, when you're 5 years old, now when you think of yourself when you're 5 years old, it's the same you. Although the body that you had when you're 5 years old is not the same body that you have today. So although the body changes, but you do not change. So that proves that the soul is unchanging. And in spite of the change of the body, the soul doesn't change. And even when the body becomes uninhabitable for the soul, when the soul cannot remain in the body and the soul leaves the body becomes dead. But the death of the body does not mean the end of your existence. Even after death, death actually, as I mentioned earlier, is the soul leaving the body. And when the soul leaves the body becomes dead, but the soul continues. The soul continues to another body. Now that body is designed, or that body is awarded to the soul according to his activities in his present life. The way you act, accordingly you produce reaction. It's a common scientific fact. To every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Einstein's Newton's law of motion. That to every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And this law of physics even applies on the spiritual platform or in every aspect of life. As you act, accordingly, you will get the reaction. The same principle has been stated in Bible as you sow, so shall you reap. As you sow, accordingly, you will reap the harvest. Now, if you act in a good way, then the result or the reaction is good. And if you act in a bad way or sinful way, then the reaction is bad. Now, as a result of good action, one gets enjoyment. And as a result of bad action, one suffers. So these are the very basic principles. You can even consider it to be a scientific principle. And with our common sense, we can understand these principles. Now, what is the most important thing to understand is the awareness that we are not this body, but we are spirit soul. Now, you will notice that every religion admits that fact, that living entities are spiritual. This has been very elaborately explained in the Vedic philosophy. In Bhagavad Gita, the book which has been acclaimed by all the scholars of the world since time immemorial, this book, in the very beginning actually, establishes that point that the spirit soul is imperishable and eternal. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, it has been mentioned in a shlok, in a verse, the dehinoshmin jatha dehe kaumaram jovanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dhirastatranam mihati. The way our bodies go through different changes from childhood to youth to old age. But although the body changes, but we remain the same. As I mentioned earlier, like when you reflect when you are 5 years old, or say 10 years old, or 15 years old, you realize that it is the same you. When you are 5 years old and you of today are not different person, it's the same person. But the body that you had when you are 5 years old, you do not have the same body. Even scientifically it is proven that the body cells keep changing every moment. And after 7 years, all the cells of the body are changed. Like the cells that you had in your body 7 years back, you do not have a single cell from that time existing in your body today. So the body is constantly going through a transformation or a change, but you do not change. And that you is the spirit soul. And that is your real identity. And it has been further described that noinam chindanti shastrani, noinam dahuti pavaka, noinam kledayanto apo, noinam shoshati maruta. That is, this spirit soul cannot be cut with a weapon, it cannot be burnt with fire, it cannot be moistened with water, or it cannot be dried with air. Like all these material phenomena do not affect the spirit soul. It affects the body. It does affect the body, but it doesn't affect the spirit soul. Like you are unaffected by fire, water, air, and no weapon can burn, cut it, fire cannot burn it. And furthermore, it has been pointed out that although the body may be slain, but the spirit soul cannot be slain. The body may be slain, like body may be cut by a weapon. And when the body is cut by a weapon or burned by fire, and if the body becomes uninhabitable for the spirit, then the spirit leaves the body. This body is actually a dwelling place of the spirit. And as long as this body is in a good, healthy condition, the spirit soul remains in the body. But when the body becomes dilapidated or uninhabitable for the spirit soul, then the spirit leaves the body. Example can be given, say you are living in a house. And as long as the house is in a good condition, you remain there. But say, if the house gets burnt, then you do not keep on living in that house. You leave the house and look for another house. Or if the house becomes too old, and everything is about to collapse, then you change your house. The same way, this body is actually like a house for the spirit soul. And when the body becomes dilapidated, when the body becomes uninhabitable for the spirit, then the spirit leaves the body. And this departure of the spirit soul is called death. And the spirit's accepting a new body is called birth. And the duration of the spirit in the body between birth and death is called life. Now, if you leave the house where you are living in because the house has become uninhabitable, that doesn't mean that because you left the house, you stop to exist. You continue your existence in some other house. The same way, when this body, the house for the spirit, becomes dilapidated or uninhabitable for the spirit, The spirit leaves it, but that doesn't mean that the spirit stops to exist. Spirit soul continues. But continuation of the spirit soul is called reincarnation or return. The spirit soul comes back. It may not come back in the same place. You may not be born in the same family. You may not be placed in the same environment where you had been living, but you will come back. Now, how you'll come back will depend on how you have acted. Now, this can be further explained. We actually have two different types of material bodies. The spirit soul is encaged in two different material bodies. One is a subtle body and the other is a gross body. Now, this body is a gross body made of gross material elements. And those gross material elements are earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And beyond this gross body, we have another subtle body. And that subtle body is made of mind, intelligence, and false ego. Now, these three elements, mind, intelligence, and false ego, are also matter, but they are subtle matter. Now, when we leave the gross body, death means leaving the gross body. But the spirit soul is carried by the subtle body. Even after death, we retain our subtle body. Our mind, intelligence, and false ego that comprises our subtle body carries the spirit soul into the next body. Now, when we act, the reaction of our action leaves an impression on our mind or on our subtle body. It's very easy to understand when you consider when you do something good, you feel light inside. You feel joyful, you feel happy. But when you have done something bad, and although no one even saw you doing that, but still inwardly you feel bad. Inwardly you feel heavy. So this is how every action actually leaves an impression on your mind. And these impressions remain, or these impressions actually form, gives a shape to our mind or our subtle body. Like for instance, when somebody acts like an angel, you say that man is like an angel. And literally, when a person acts like an angel, his subtle body takes up the shape of an angel. At the same time, sometimes you say that man is like a pig, because his activities are like that of a pig. And when a person acts like a pig, then his subtle body also takes up the shape of a pig. Pig's subtle body. His mentality becomes like that of a pig. So this is how our action shapes our subtle body or our mind. And when somebody has acted like an angel, and when he leaves his gross body, then his spirit is carried by the subtle body that has already taken up the shape of an angel, subtle body, places him in the body of an angel. Similarly, when somebody acts like a pig and develops the subtle body of a pig, then after death, he is placed in a, nature places him in the womb of a pig and awards him with a pig's gross body. So every action actually designs our future. So that's why it is very, very important that we act in a proper way. A similar example I can give here is that When somebody builds his future nicely, goes to school, studies nicely, and then goes to the university, gets a degree, then his future becomes bright. But a person who wastes his time in all kinds of nonsensical activities, then his future becomes unhappy or miserable. So the way we can design our future in a gross platform, the same way we can design our future in a subtle platform. And by acting in a proper way, we can actually form our future to be joyful. Now, the enjoyment or suffering in the material platform, both are transient. That is not the ultimate consideration. The ultimate consideration is to become situated in our constitutional position. Now, it has been confirmed that good action leads us to enjoyment and bad action leads us to suffering. Now, the ultimate good action leads us to ultimate enjoyment. The spirit does not belong to the material nature. The spirit actually comes from the spiritual nature. And when the spirit becomes free from the material bondage, then the spirit goes back to the spiritual nature. Now, what is the spiritual nature? The spiritual nature is the nature where God is the center. And material nature is the nature where one is not directly connected to the Lord. It's to clear the point, I can give an example. See, in the state, one lives a free life. But when somebody breaks the law of the state, then he is put into the prison. Now, prison house is also the kingdom of the king. It's inside the kingdom of the king. But those who are living in the prison, they cannot lead a free life. Or one is put into the prison to get punished in order to rectify his perverted mentality. When somebody breaks the law, that is a clear indication that his mentality is perverted. So that's why he is put into the prison and he undergoes various kinds of suffering to rectify his consciousness. So we all actually belong to the kingdom of God. But when we break the law of the king of the king, God, then we are put into the prison house, and this material nature is a prison where everyone is undergoing different kinds of suffering so that they can rectify their perverted consciousness. Actually, we all are here in the material nature to recognize our mistakes and try to go back to the spiritual nature by becoming situated in our spiritual identity. That is the goal of human life, at least, because living entities are transmigrating from different bodies. From lower species of life to the higher species, they're gradually evolving. It is not an organic evolution, but it is actually a spiritual evolution. The spirit is evolving from lower consciousness to higher consciousness. That way, consciousness has been divided into five different categories. The lower consciousness, the lowest form of consciousness is called covered consciousness. The trees and plants, they are also conscious. But their consciousness is almost covered. Only when we notice it very minutely, we notice that a tree is also alive. Tree also has consciousness. And all of you know that the tree also is a living entity. But in spite of being a living entity, its consciousness is covered. There's a very, very minute expression of consciousness in the trees and plants. Then the next grade of consciousness is called shrunken state of consciousness. And from worms and insects up to the animals, they fall in this category. They are also conscious. Their consciousness is quite obvious, quite apparent. But their consciousness is in a shrunken state. Like you can see, a worm is conscious. An insect is conscious. A bird is conscious. An animal is conscious. But their consciousness is in a shrunken state. Then comes the budding state of consciousness. And the human beings fall in that category. Now, a bud is apparently also shrunken. The petals in the bud are in a shrunken state. But the bud has the ability to bloom into a flower. The same way, apparently, a human being is in a human being's consciousness also is shrunken. But the human being has the ability to blossom his consciousness. That the other subhuman species of life do not have. Like no matter how hard an animal tries to develop its consciousness, it won't be able to develop its consciousness. But a human being can. A human being has been endowed with the ability to develop his consciousness to an unlimited extent. Now, a bud begins to bloom when the bud has the water and is exposed to the sun. So these two factors are important for the bud to blossom into a flower. And in the Vedas, it has been explained that when a human being takes the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master who has been compared to the water, and through his guidance is exposed to the sun, and God has been compared to the sun. So under the direction of a spiritual teacher, when a living entity is exposed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord, then his consciousness begins to blossom. From bud consciousness, it begins to blossom into a flower. Is that right? Yeah. So it begins to blossom into a flower. So that's the fourth stage of consciousness called the blooming state of consciousness. And then, when the spirit becomes fully aware of God, becomes fully God conscious, becomes fully situated, perfectly situated in his spiritual identity, that is called the fully bloomed state of consciousness. So that is the perfection of one's existence. So we also believe in evolution. But this evolution is not organic evolution, but it is spiritual evolution. It's not the evolution of body, but it's an evolution of consciousness. So, the ultimate consideration here is that when we get the human body actually has been endowed with certain specific facilities, and we must take full advantage of those facilities. And that is, the human beings must become aware of God. Now, God is not a fictitious concept. It's not an imagination. God is reality. He is the absolute reality. And it is not that different religions have different gods. God is one. God is one and without a second. And every religion actually is pointing out to that one Supreme Personality. And as when we make the right approach towards Him, then our consciousness begins to develop and we become properly situated in our spiritual identity. The human body has been compared to a very wonderful machine. Like when you have a very nice machine or a nice car, that car helps you to reach your destination. Now, our ultimate destination is to go back to God, and this human body is a wonderful vehicle to reach that destination. So that's why in the Vedas it has been pointed out that now that you have got the human body, you must take full advantage of it and make your life perfect by becoming fully God conscious. If we had any other kinds of body, we wouldn't have been able to become God conscious. The animals or birds or worms or insects do not have that higher intelligence or do not have the ability to develop their consciousness or develop their intelligence to understand who God is. Like you can at least question who God is, but a dog cannot question who God is. It's only the human beings can question. And not only question, they can also get the answer and they can also reach that ultimate destination. Now, it's a very, very deep and profound subject. It cannot be covered in just 1 hour's time. But still, I think I stop now and I'll invite questions from you. So if anybody has any question, he can ask. Mother's womb. The soul remains in a dormant state when the womb is impregnated, the mother enters into the mother's womb through the father, and then the soul begins to develop the body. Naturally, by nature's arrangement, the body begins to develop. And then it begins to show the sign of consciousness, pretty developed consciousness, even in the womb of the mother. And then finally, it comes out. Like mother actually gives the body to the soul. Like by nature's arrangement, the soul is awarded the body in the womb of the mother. It is possible, but we do not really dwell so much into the past. Like we project ourselves on the future. Like whatever body we have, like for instance, if I tell you, right, I mean, there is no proof, right, that it is correct. I mean, how do I make you believe, right? So better is to not to dwell so much into the past, but project into the future. Like, let our next body become better than this body, right? And ultimately, let's get the best body, that is the spiritual body. Actually, it's not to find out about your past is not very difficult. There's a branch of Veda called Bhrigu Samhita, from that you can understand your previous birth. It is possible. And also through hypnosis also it is done nowadays. I mean, it can be done. Like by regression, by hypnotic method, they regress and they go back to their previous lives, like the previous bodies, and they relate to the experiences that are very, very accurate. Yes. It's the nature. The nature is making the arrangement. You see, when the soul, when the body becomes old and it becomes impossible for the soul to remain in the body, then the soul is asked to leave the body. Now, often what happens, the soul doesn't want to leave the body, becomes so attached. So then, he's kind of forced out of the body. Like for instance, you have, say you have a house and the house has become old. Then the municipal authority, the city authority, come and ask you to leave the house. But you say, no, I don't want to leave. I have been here for so many years. I have so many wonderful memories connected to this house. So I don't want to evacuate. So then, ultimately, if you don't want to leave the house, but the house has become so old that it may collapse any day, so then the city authorities come and forces you out of the house and says, no, you can't stay here anymore. So when the body becomes uninhabitable, then the soul is asked to leave. But when the soul doesn't want to leave, then the soul is pushed out of the body or forced out of the body. But that is done by the higher authorities in the nature. There are different departments in the nature. And there is one department called the Department of Death. And they have their force or the army. And they do the job when somebody doesn't want to leave. Yeah. These machines are actually making some arrangements so that the soul can remain in the body longer, right? Like for instance, the body cannot really breathe oxygen, but the machine is supplying the oxygen so that, but the soul needs the oxygen to remain in the body or to make the body function, right? So these are some artificial arrangements, right? So, by these artificial arrangements, the soul can remain in the body a little longer, right? But we have to understand that finally, sometime or other, we have to leave the body. Right? No matter how hard we try, everybody has to die. Yeah, you had a question. Yeah. You see, ultimately, of course, we have to take the knowledge from the higher authorities. But the proofs are there. We can apply that, like as I gave an example, like when you prepare your future, then you enjoy later on. But if you do not prepare yourself, like for instance, you are in a school. Now the whole year, you didn't study. So finally when the time comes to sit for the exam, how do you feel? You feel completely hopeless, right? But if you prepared yourself throughout the year very nicely, then you sit for the exam and then you come out with a flying color. So, at least in our practical, in our day-to-day life, we have experiences that we can actually mold our future. And also scientifically it has been proven that to every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. Like whatever you do, it produces a reaction. Now, the reaction for bad action is bad and the reaction of good action is good. bad action will not produce good action, right? Will not reaction of a bad action will not be good, nor will the reaction of a good action will be bad. Nature actually maintains a very stringent law. So, the same way, and then I gave an example that the impression remain in the mind. This has been very elaborately explained in the Vedic scriptures. The impressions are there in the mind. Whatever you do, the impressions remain. And actually, if you want to go to the experience of death, the experience, at the time of death, all that you have done, you relive that once again. Like you go through all the experiences that you have done from your young age to the last moment of death. And as you have acted accordingly, you develop your attachment. Like a person who has been leading a good life, the impressions that he gets at the time of death is very pleasing. And so that helps him to die easily, and after death, his next life also becomes easy or more joyful. Yes. It's a kind of a, you see, right, yeah, you got the, you translate the question? Yeah. You see, the experiences after death often is like the experiences of dream, because that takes place in a subtle plane. It's in the subtle body, and the subtle body is going through the experiences, so that's in the subtle plane. But the difference is that when we are in this body, in a gross body, and when we are dwelling in a subtle plane, in a dream, then we wake up into the gross body, like the dream is over, and we come back to the gross reality. But after death, we cannot wake up, right? It continues. Like, for instance, if you have a nightmare, if you have a very bad dream, like you see that a tiger is coming and eating you up, right? You become very afraid and you kind of cry out in fear, and then you wake up. And when you wake up, you feel relieved. So, oh, that dream, it was actually a nightmare and it is over now. But after death, you do not have the gross body to wake up again. You remain in the subtle body, and that experience continues. Like if you are having a good dream, right, then it continues. You know, it's not broken, right? But if you have a bad dream, then also you can't wake up. You know, it continues, and you go through that miserable experience. Like then it becomes a reality, even more real than this reality actually. If a tiger comes and eats you, the tiger really comes and goes, you go through the experience of being devoured by a tiger. Yes, that's another plane. You see, consciousness has different planes. Like now we are in one plane of consciousness. So we can relate to, I can relate to you and you can relate to others, those who are in this plane. But there is another plane of consciousness. There are different other planes of consciousness. And those who are situated in those planes, there is interaction between them. They are similar, kind of, yes, they are similar. Right, that's true. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like when somebody suffers, then we have to understand that the cause of that suffering is in the past. And the same way somebody enjoys, then also you have to understand that the cause of the enjoyment is in the past. Like for instance, sometimes we see that somebody is born in a very rich family. Just by being born in a family, he becomes a millionaire. Right? Now, how did it happen? He never worked hard to make that million. But we have to understand that in his previous life, he has done good things, good action. That's why he is getting the reaction now, that accordingly. The same way when somebody suffers from birth, we have to understand that he must have done something bad in his previous life. Now, this way, by understanding, at least we can do one thing. We can try to make our next life better. It may happen with different possibility, like it may have different outcome. For instance, I was just remembering one incident in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is in India, where we have our temple. One girl, she was about 9 or 10 years old. She just took some chloroquine tablets. Like her father had a bottle of chloroquine. She's an American, her parents are American. So she playfully just took the tablet and she died. And at that time, our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, was in Vrindavan. And when we asked him, he actually said that she was a devotee. She was a devotee of the Lord in her previous life. But she did not complete her mission. So some work had to be done. She had some span of life still left when she left her previous body. So she came and lived here for 10 or 11 years. And now she went back to the spiritual world, spiritual time. So sometimes, you know, like it may happen, like the death may occur, where the person actually completes his mission and goes back to the spiritual nature. But sometimes it may even happen, like somebody may be very, very sinful. And because of his previous sinful activities, you know, he had to die prematurely. It can, you know, like the, you know, you cannot just pin down that this is the cause. You know, the cause may vary from person to person. That's your mind and intelligence is changing, not the spirit. That's your body. No, it doesn't. The spirit, as long as the spirit is taking the experience of the body to be real, the spirit identifies himself with the body. Like for instance, when you're driving a car, you identify yourself with the car, right? And somebody scratches the car and you feel as if somebody scratched your body, right? But actually, nothing is happening to your body, it's happening to the car. But since you're identifying yourself to the car, you feel it's happening to you. But when the spirit identifies himself with the body, then the body's affairs affect the spirit. Right? But the spirit is unchanging. Like for instance, when you're 5 years old, do you remember something that you did at when you're 5? Or say 10? I mean, you remember when you're 10 years old, right? So, you, when you are 10 years old, and you today, isn't it the same you, same person? I'm talking about when you say I, that identity of yours isn't it the same identity? Your experiences may change, right? But you are the same person, right? Right. And so the same way, when you'll become 50 years old or 60 years old, you'll remain the same person, although you won't have the same body. And your mind may change, your experiences may vary, but you as the person always remains. Well, yeah, it may. It's not actually. Like when you were, there was a time when you had a body this big, right? You don't have that body today, right? And so even biologically, we can understand that the cells of the body changes. It maintains, it retains the same kind of, it retains the same form to some extent, but it is not exactly the same body as such. And ultimately we all have to give up this body. Right? So this body won't remain the same forever. Yes. The ultimate consideration of good and evil is the actions that take us towards God is good, and the actions that take us away from God is evil. Or heard means hear. Heard or hurt? Pain. Yeah. Hurt, yeah. 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 Yes, subtle body also can be hurt. Like, for instance, if somebody tells you something bad, then you feel hurt. And that hurt actually takes place in the subtle platform. Or a person you love very much, and if that person rejects you, then you feel hurt. Now, physically, he didn't do anything to you. But in the subtle platform, in the subtle body, you feel the pain. So this way, the subtle body can experience the pain in different ways. But when we approach, when we do good things, right, then the subtle body experiences the joy also, the happiness. So pleasure also is experienced in the subtle body. And ultimately it is true, like the ultimate joy comes from being connected to the Lord. When you come close to God and become related to Him, then we experience the absolute joy. And sure, prayer does help. Prayer means asking the favor of the Lord, asking the help of the Lord to go back to Him. creation. Yes. Yes. The angels also are there, but they are in a higher plane of consciousness, and with our present consciousness, we are not able to perceive them. But when somebody's consciousness becomes purified, then he actually can see the angels. Like, for instance, the saintly person, can see the angels. Because of their saintly activities, their consciousness, their perception has become so purified that they can perceive them. The same way, when somebody becomes degraded to lower platform of consciousness, then they can see the ghosts. Like, normally we do not see the ghosts with this eye, because they are actually in a lower plane of consciousness. But when somebody becomes degraded to a lower plane of consciousness, or due to fear, when somebody drops to a lower state of consciousness, then he sees the ghost actually as a reality. So there are different planes of reality. And the perception of those realities depends on our consciousness. Is that clear? Yes. Yes. But very beautiful human beings. Yes. Yeah. He tries to change as much as he can from evil to good. He feels that somehow or other he has fallen in this miserable condition. But let me try to do as much good I can. And just by trying his level best, he helps others, and he himself becomes joyful. An example can be given. Say, when Jesus came, he saw so much wrong activities were going on. And he tried to change the people around him, and we can see that the people around him were so bad that although he came to give them the greatest benediction, in return they crucified him. But although they crucified him, he did not mind it. He simply prayed to the Father that please forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. So that is the sign of an angel, or that is how an angel acts. Yes. Actually, the soul is the source of all action. The subtle body is simply the covering, a subtle covering to the soul, and the gross body is a gross covering to the soul. But it is the soul that the real person is. And that identity is spiritual, and he also has a form, and that form also is spiritual. But because of his involvement in the material nature, he loses his spiritual identity. Like, we can say that one is wearing a shirt, and then over the shirt he is wearing a coat. Now, the shirt is cut according to the body. And then on top of that, he has the coat, which is also shaped according to the body. Now, the shirt can be compared to the subtle body, and the coat can be compared to the gross body. But the person is the spirit. Person can be compared to the spirit. Now, without the body, the shirt cannot be active. Like when the person is wearing the coat, and the person is walking, then it seems that the coat is walking, or the shirt is walking. But actually the shirt by itself cannot walk, nor can the coat. The same way, when the spirit is in the subtle body and the subtle body and the gross body become active. But when the spirit leaves, they become inactive. Yeah. The good actions, our ultimate consideration of good action is that brings you close to God, right? And ultimate consideration of bad action is that brings you more into matter. Matter and spirit are two opposite things, right? The center of the spiritual nature is God. So when you do good actions, you come closer to God. And coming closer to God, you come closer to your spiritual identity. Right? Not two lives. It's just a matter of the same. It's a continuation of your activities. Bodies are changing. Right? Yeah. Okay. You ask. Oh, I see. And now I get your point. Like, what actually happens after death? And between the death and the new birth. Yeah. That depends, again, varies from different, person, due to his action. Like, when a person is sinful, then the duration of his, that intermediate period between one body to another is very long. But a person, when he is, when he is close to his self, sometimes he can even remember his one body change from one body to the other body. So in short, I can say that death is like sleep. The difference between sleep and death is, in sleep, you wake up in the same body. But in death, you wake up in the next body. And in your sleep, sometimes you dream. Right? Now, these dream experiences actually also take place after death. And sometimes people have hellish experiences after death. And sometimes people have divine experiences after death. That depends upon their action when they were alive. But the ultimate consideration is that between one body to another body, it's a kind of a sleep called sushupti, deep sleep. You are forced to, right? Because this body, you cannot really take it, choose your body. After death, we cannot say that I'm going to get such and such body. The bodies, the material bodies are actually awarded to us by the material nature. You remain in a subconscious or unconscious state. You either stay in an unconscious state or in a subconscious or dream state. No. Like when you are sleeping, you can't really act. Actually, you see, like for instance, when you are sleeping, you cannot act. So after we give up this body, after death, we cannot actually act on our own volition. And then we are kind of, you know, forced by the law of nature. But when we are in this body, then we have the ability to use our will and act according to our desire. Yeah, it's a kind of a pause. Material world also? Yes, there is a very, that's right. There's a controller of the material nature. Her name is, she's a woman. And, yeah. and her name is Maya. Yeah. Maya means illusory energy of the Lord. God, yeah. And God is male. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Huh? Okay, at least you're familiar with the Christian concept, right? In Bible, it has been described God the Father, right? So Father is male or female? And Mother Nature. Right? Nature has been addressed as the mother. The mother nature and God the Father. Even in Christian concept, you have this same understanding. Yes. Soul is actually beyond age. Soul is ageless. Soul is eternal. And eternal means that doesn't have any beginning and doesn't have any end. And yes, hell exists. The way this material nature is a reality, hell also is a reality. And evil, as I said, is the absence of good or absence of God. Yes. Believe in him. You see, right. See, you believe or not, truth is truth. Right? And Christianity does believe in reincarnation. Christianity, because John the Baptist is Elijah reborn. So here's a, you know, like here's a proven fact that Christianity believes in reincarnation. That's ignorance. I won't say official. And ignorance is not just, it's ignorance is ignorance because they haven't been exposed to the knowledge. Once you're exposed to the knowledge, once you have the knowledge, then the ignorance is removed. Yes, sure, it should change. It should change. Why should you remain in ignorance? Isn't it better to be in knowledge? Well, I mean, truth is truth, right? So it's better to be exposed to the truth. And truth is not sectarian. Truth doesn't belong to any geographical boundary. Truth is a matter of, you know, our becoming aware of it. That's why we are trying. That's why we are trying to present it. Now it's up to the individuals whether they accept it or not. But at least the presentation should be there. At least from our side, there should be an endeavor. Like, if I have something, I feel it's my duty to give it to others. Yes. Yeah, I just explained it to her just a while ago. Anyway, I'll repeat it. It depends on different individuals. It depends according to individuals. Like when you work, sometimes when you get work very hard or get very involved in materialistic activities, then you sleep for a very long time. But if you are not very much involved in materialistic activities, then you do not really need to sleep so much. So now, how long you will have to remain in an unconscious or subconscious state between death to next birth will depend on how you have been involved in the material nature. Like if you are withdrawn from the material nature and you are close to the spirit, then the duration is very short. But if you are very much involved in the materialistic activity, then the duration is longer. Oh, how many times one has to be born again and again? Well, till the time you become purified, till the time you develop your love for the Lord, you have to come back again and again. Or you can say, till the time you go back to the spiritual nature, you have to go through the cycle of changing body. But being situated in our spiritual identity and being and going back to God, we stop that cycle. Huh? More or less is not the real consideration, because the spirit, if the people means the spirit, right? Spirit souls. Now the spirit souls are not generated in the earth. They come from the spiritual nature, right? And you may consider the number of human beings have increased, but at the same time you can consider how many trees have been cut, right? How many animals have been slaughtered, right? So, that you cannot really take a complete, you know, counting in that sense. Like more human beings doesn't really mean the more spirit souls as such. Or the understanding is, to give an example, sometimes you see the prison house gets filled with convicts, prisoners, and sometimes it becomes empty, right? Now the convicts are not actually born in the prison. They don't come from the prison house. They come from outside, right? So same way the spirit souls come from the spiritual nature. And sometimes, you know, there are many more spirit souls and sometimes there may be less spirit souls in the material nature. It's actually becoming very sinful, and that's where the suffering is increasing. And when the suffering increases to a very great degree, it reaches the optimum point, you know, the optimum point that it cannot go any further. Then some big catastrophe takes place, like world war, and there's a mass, nature, you know, wipes out a mass population. So the only solution is that people have to become God conscious. More we become aware of God and our relationship with God, then more pious we become. But more we reject God, more sinful we become. And actually this modern civilization is, you know, based on rejecting God, defying God's law. So that's why the world is actually in a very, very precarious condition. Materially, you may have accomplished a lot, right? You got fast cars, you got color TVs, you got, you know, atom bombs and so on and so forth. But they are not going to make your life peaceful. It didn't really make the life peaceful. People have become more and more agitated with the modern materialistic advancement. Yeah, you see, as I mentioned, after death, they get into a kind of a sleeping state, a dormant state. Right? Well, God makes arrangements. How did you come here at the first place? The creation began by the will of the Lord. So if by the will of the Lord destruction takes place, then again by His will, creation again will take place. Now He is the omnipotent. So I think I stop now. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That was just an example. Yeah. Nice question. Yeah. You see, by nature's arrangement, this evolution takes place. You see, from lower to higher consciousness, this is arranged by nature. Nature actually places, you know, living entities from higher to higher lives. Then ultimately, they get the human body. And when we get the human body, then we get a chance to act independently, right? Only human beings have the ability to act on his own. Right? In a way, defying nature. Right? But if a human being does not take advantage of the human life, which is actually meant for realizing God, then by the nature's arrangement, he'll again be put into the cycle of, you know, evolution, where he'll evolve from lower consciousness to higher consciousness. So a dog actually doesn't have the ability to form or design his future, whereas a man has. You see, dog has to be surrendered to the nature's law, right? And maybe after the dog's body, he'll get a little higher body, maybe a lion's body or a tiger's body. Clear order, right. Different grades of consciousness, yeah. You see, religion is one, right? And religion actually means the way to approach God, right? Now, we are the followers of the Vedic principles or Vedic religion. Now, commonly it may be defined as Hinduism, But we do not make any discrimination as such. Like, for instance, I was born in a Hindu family, but I do not really consider myself as a Hindu in that sense, right? But I am trying to approach God. Now, he is born in a Catholic family, right? But it's not that he has been converted into a Hindu, but actually he is also making his approach to God. So this way, I mean, our understanding is there is only one religion, and that is to approach God, and God is one. For example, when our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he was preaching in America, some Christian priests came to him and told him, asked him, why are you converting these Christian boys and girls into Hindus? Then Prabhupada replied, no, I'm not converting the Christians into Hindus or Christians into Jews or Jews into Muslims. He said, I'm simply making better Christians out of the Christians, better Jews out of the Jews, better Muslims out of the Muslims, and better Hindus out of the Hindus. And I, as a Hindu, I can see that I have become a better Hindu, right? I didn't reject my religion. And the same way, we do not ask anybody to reject his bona fide religion.